Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. .podbean.com.
Usually, Treknology concentrates on the tech and science of the 23rd and 24th centuries. But with Star Trek Discovery Season 3 forging into the distant future, this time we turn an eye toward the technology and theories from ensuing centuries. Treknology, of course, one of the major reasons for purchasing Star Trek magazine. I'd say the other major reason, of course, is Larry Nemechek's column. And one day we'll actually get both Larry Nemechek and Chris Dowes on the same Zoom package together, because this is actually assisted in terms of new technology as we move into the futures of the 23rd and 24th century. Accordingly, it's a delight to welcome back to the Midweek Drive also the recipient of the Robin Pierce Most Valuable Contributor Award for his last contribution to us. It's Dr. Chris Dowes. How are you, Chris?
Oh, fantastic. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. And you've just basically preceded my last article for the Star Trek magazine. I suppose I better get it up on screen and read it, because I can't actually remember what it is I wrote.
Well, I mean, there are a number of little aspects here which I think you were being a bit of a tease, Chris, and I will actually refer to one or two aspects within that. I thought this is nice. But we also mentioned, of course, Robin Pierce, more than just a mention, co-host, of course, of the awesome Resonance Rewind, lead writer for Starburst magazine, host and founder of the Piercing the Veil podcast, and safe in a bit of Wales that isn't socially isolated as yet, or isn't locked down as yet, because obviously your bit is inevitably socially isolated, being that close to Fort Marion.
Well, we are so socially isolated, yes. They don't need to cut us down. They just need to cut off all the roads to where we are.
I think they're thinking on doing that with respect to Middlesbrough, certainly, given that the mayor of Middlesbrough has recently turned around and said, basically, the government don't know what they're doing. That's a surprise, but never mind.
He seemed a very, very angry man, the deputy mayor of Middlesbrough that I saw on the BBC. He was very cross.
I think that's another podcast, but you're not going to get any argument from me on that one, Chris. However,
I've been to Middlesbrough, yes, so I'll just leave it at that. I've also been to Port Marion. And can I also say, Robin, that your CV, spoken by Alex, is far more impressive sounding than mine. So there you are, sir.
I was just in awe of yours, as a matter of fact.
I just do the odd bit here and there, you know.
Same.
I mean, we could go into Warhammer, but I do want to say, was it a deliberate choice, Chris, to actually weave in a little bit of Doctor Who into your latest Treknology column?
Well, actually, I'm surprised I got away with it, because the guys at Titan are... that's unfair, because Nick's brilliant, my latest editor. They've all been brilliant, Chris, before that. I think I've seen off 5 or 6 editors. It's a bit frightening, really, because I've been there so long.
It shows resilience, Chris. Resilience. That's what it's all about.
I don't think anyone's got the courage to say, we don't want you anymore. I don't know. But
in my case, I'm onto my fourth vice-chancellor. So, you know, it's resilience. That's what we're about.
Fantastic. I'm surprised, actually, that I got away with it, because CBS, whoever it is now...
Shall we do the reveal here? Now, to confirm that this is the right thing, because you actually, as always, you're using real science developed by real scientists to kind of really address issues relating to Star Trek. And clearly, this issue is very much focusing on time travel, slingshot effects, all of those kind of things. And you quote, or at least you actually cite, according to the University of British Columbia's doctors Benjamin Tippett and David Tsang, in their 2013 paper, Traversable Achronal Retrograde Domains in Space-Time, there is some math to support the potential creation of forward linear time travel. Forward linear time travel. Robin, did you get the Doctor Who reference within that?
I don't think I've understood a word you've said.
Oh, no. Well, as we're talking time travel, and this has always been another one of my dreams, because clearly, Chris Dowes, I know that yourself and your partner... big fans of Gabriella Peralta's weather forecast for Lincoln, England, from Gibraltar. As you can see now, Gabriella has actually joined us as well.
Is that the Gabriella on camera? I don't believe it. I've heard the voice, but I've never seen the face. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Gabriella Peralta. I haven't done the camera, actually, the first couple months, I remember.
Yeah, it's okay, Gabrielle. Honestly, I see, obviously, in the background there, you can see that, obviously, lockdown Middlesbrough is now actually bringing in the police force to actually sort of ensure that everything else is sorted. It's okay, we're fine. We'll keep on going like some crazy Stasi battling East German radio station from the 1970s. But yes, Gabrielle, you're actually quite right, Gabrielle, because I forgot it was really relatively recently that you managed to work out which button to press to actually get in vision, which is, it works in radio, but it's just nice. Anyway, Gabrielle Peralta, Robin Pierce, Gabriella Peralta. And indeed, I think, Chris, it's worthwhile saying, before I come back to traversable achronal retrograde domains in space-time, there's the clue, Robin. Take the first few letters. Temporal achronal retrograde domains in space-time.
Now I'm with you. Right.
Well, honestly, Robin, don't worry about it, because most of my readers don't understand what I'm writing anyway. So that I struggle when I'm writing.
What Alex forgets is I'm Welsh, and he needs to talk really slowly sometimes.
It's his accent.
Yeah, well, there we have it. That's a whole new world on that system. But was that, Chris, the Doctor Who reference, which clearly refers to another acronym for time and relative dimensions in space?
It was, but I got away with it because it was actually, bizarrely, a real scientific paper. I mean, they were kind of...
Would they have picked up on it, though? I mean, was it just that they just didn't see it?
I don't think they will have been that bullish that they would have taken it out, because it also was, you know, an acronym for something else. But I put it in, obviously, because you'd hope, because I know actually BBC America has done quite well with Doctor Who over in the States for over the years, and I hope that some of the Trek fans, because most of the magazine run goes over to the States. I was hoping that there'd be a lot of kind of Doctor Who crossover. Nick, my editor, didn't bat an eyelid, didn't say a word about it. So I don't think it was that controversial. But when you'll know this, Robin, and of course yourself as well, Alex, when you're writing for an American, primarily an American audience, and also a franchise, the gloves are on. You know, you've got to be really, really careful what you say, where you go, and what you do. I mean, in the latest article that I've done for Treknology, which is going to be coming out in a few weeks' time, I put in it was about spacecraft design, and I found a feature, an article that there was NASA's $20 million toilet, because they've developed a new toilet for the Orion capsule, I thought, will I get away with actually talking about toilets in the Star Trek magazine? But it's always been, I kind of kicked off the article by saying there's a great commonality between real science talking about spaceships and starships, Starfleet ships. Where's the toilets? You know, where does Captain Kirk go to the toilet, etc.? And then they started sneaking things in the blueprint. You'll know all these stories about where the toilet was and the head and all that kind of thing, using the American naval parlance.
And then they simply decided to actually come up with lower decks and sent the whole thing down the toilet. Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. And the flush as well. Actually, I can't say that because I haven't watched it, so I have to be really, really careful what I say here.
Well, going back to what you were saying, Chris, I remember those blueprints that came out in the mid-70s. Yep. Was it by Franz Josef?
Yes.
And, of course, the first thing that all of us who got those blueprints and the Starfleet technical manual was to have a look, you know, so where are the toilets?
Where are the toilets? I know there was a bowling alley. They put that at the back of the Constitution.
I didn't know that until I saw mention of it in the, I think... Sci-fi magazine, a big poster magazine that came out in the early 70s.
Fantastic.
All of these things in terms of time occurring simultaneously. So don't worry, Gabriella, about the fact that on one level you might be saying, but I wasn't born then. What are these people talking about in terms of strange series and TV series? Actually, it's all occurring at the same time. Gabriella, is there a Star Trek following in Gibraltar? Or is it a case of, there might be, but I prefer to focus on my work with the Gibraltar Chronicle?
There definitely is a Star Trek following, and there's also a Star Wars following. I went to an exhibition about 2 years ago of an artist who dedicated his time to painting the characters in both franchises. So it was everything from, I don't know, Chewbacca and all the rest of them, I don't know their names, but there is, and he was selling them as well. So there's definitely... scope for it. I think, though, everywhere, I would be surprised if there was a place that people didn't like sci-fi. It's not, I'm not too well versed in any sci-fi, but I know that there's massive followings for it.
Well, there we are, Chris. You know, clearly we've actually got that from our Gibraltarian correspondent, that there is still a part to play for Star Trek in Gibraltar.
Absolutely. And the classic Star Wars and Star Trek, it's just basically the same thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no. I mean, I thought, no, Gabriella was always a good student. She always sort of great. She always did well. So I just thought it's best not going there. Otherwise, you know, let's cite what I like to refer to as the Robin Pierce be kind line on such things, which is, why can't we just all get along together?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's not have the Ronald D. Moore Star Trek. Let's have the Gene Roddenberry Star Trek. How about that?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yes. It's certainly better than anything else that those Proud Boys could actually come up with. Oh, no, sorry, I'm going into political terminology again, and I'll save that for when Gene Bruce Scott is joining us later on. Chris, your chance now to throw any questions you like to Gabriella or indeed Robin. I know in times past when you've joined me in the studio, those days long ago, you usually didn't quite get there in time. Well, you might have listened to Gabriella's announcing of the weather for Lincoln, England from Gibraltar. Chris, anything you'd like to throw at her at this moment?
Well, I'd just like to say I didn't actually know what the connection was until you just mentioned that Gabriella was one of your ex-students. So that's a mystery solved, quite frankly. So thank you very much for that. This is just an evening of revelations upon revelations. It's unbelievable. So there we go. I can't think of a thing to say, quite frankly. I thought I was going to be asked right. Stuff, not told to ask stuff.
Well,
so I don't know what to say.
We'll come to you. I mean, actually, we are heading, of course, next week for Lincoln people, and there are folk actually in Lincoln, and students who actually occasionally download these things. We'll be heading back to what's called the online welcome week, so I won't be leaving Middlesbrough because I'll be all online, especially now that Middlesbrough's gone into partial lockdown, etc. And then hopefully attending with visors to hand, and I have actually demonstrated the visor in times past. I've gathered that we've got even more easily constructible visors. I indeed I'll use it one more time because I always like to keep the visor by the computer because you never quite know when you might need to actually put that on because that looks perfect, doesn't it? You know,
in case of a computer virus.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very good. That. Exactly. Well done, Robin. Very
it's all
good.
Sorted through there. And I'm sure that'll be, you know, that'll give us as much protection as if I was born in Sweden, which is, of course, another sort of way to actually succeed in these kinds of things, etc.
Has there been any directions about delivering a lecture in a Bane mask, because I quite fancy that. I think that'd be quite good, really.
Yeah, the trouble will be with lip reading, Chris, because as we weren't aware, but obviously have been made aware since, that the reason we're not allowed to wear face coverings or are strongly advised not to wear face coverings whilst delivering a lecture is because if you have a face covering, nobody can read your lips.
Okay.
So right. Basically, wear a Batman mask. You're going to be fine.
Brilliant. That's so you just need to see that. Exactly. Yeah. What a great idea. Fantastic.
They do sell them with a clear gap. So, yeah, they'd sell it for people who are hard of hearing. So I've seen them before where it's half mask, half clear panel on the front so people can still see your lips so you can lip read.
You see, if only Valance and Witty would actually tune into these podcasts, I'm sure they'd have much more entertaining things to actually show the British public than crazy graphs that seem to be coloured erroneously all over the place. But that's just a by-the-by thing.
You know, do you think Chris Witty is a science fiction fan? Do you think what do you reckon, Robin?
I don't think so. I don't think that man is interested in any form of entertainment. And as for those graphs, they look to me very much like Donald Trump has tried to colour something in with a crayon and can't keep in the lines.
Can't go in the lines, exactly. Yeah, bless him.
But clearly the views of our contributors might not represent those of Siren Radio or anything else, so let's move
clearly
on.
Not.
Yeah, move on from that side of things. Robin, let's turn to your good self. Wear that interviewing mantle. As I say, Chris, some awesome columns with respect to technology. He's also, of course, got Warhammer to his credit. Lots of material from that point of view. Before actually sort of entering the world of academia, worked extensively as a film programmer for, was it the Grimsby, a cinema in Grimsby, Chris?
Yeah, it was the, it's called the Whitgift Cinema. It was the only BFI cinema in the country that was in a school. And it was still running up until all this COVID nonsense, but it's an independent cinema now. But yeah, I worked there for three or four years before I got into the zany world of education. Yeah.
Oh. And it's a great world.
What made you go from cinemas to education? What was the lure of, you know, one over the other?
I was fed up of working at night.
All right.
As simple as that. Just I'd had enough. And when I was going to work, everybody else was coming home, and then everyone was coming to where I work to have a good time. And it's like, this is rubbish. So I got working at an FE college, doing film studies, funnily enough. And then worked my way upwards into HE, and then degrees, and then MAs, and then PhDs. And that was 27 years ago, I think. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Again, before Gabriella actually entered our particular time-space continuum. But what the heck? We don't mind.
I would have been just about born 27 years ago, because I'm 27 now.
Ah, oh, makes me feel really great.
Sorry.
Historic moments.
I was in my mid-30s.
it just shows the illusion of time. Amazing. Actually, very quickly, Gabriella, what's the state of play in Gibraltar at present in terms of are you still free, or is it a case of no? If the government are saying we need to go into lockdown mode, we need to follow this as well, because after all, 96% of us actually voted to stay in the European Union, and they really took notice of us then.
Gibraltar's got separate lockdown rules from the UK just because of we have different situation here, and the numbers have climbed up a bit. We're just scraping the 40s, which for a population of 30,000 is still not that bad. We've had incidents where bus drivers, so we had like 8 bus drivers test positive and another 12 in isolation, so the bus fleets were really affected. And we've had incidents as well in schools of staff and pupils getting sick and getting COVID. But we're okay for now. Contact tracing is still working. So there's no... We're technically always in a lockdown now. We haven't got out of it since March. We're in a different phase. I think we're in phase 5 right now. But there's no indication, at least right now, that anything's going to change. So we're staying the same. We can go out normal, wear masks in restaurants. I think the same is happening in the UK, public transport, inside shops and all that. So it's probably a similar situation than what the UK is having right now. But I do understand that certain areas, I think Liverpool was one today that has had harsher lockdown rules.
I mean, I suppose if, as has been suggested, the troops are actually brought in, it's only a matter of time before they decide that the best cure for COVID is actually to shoot the human beings who are carrying it. But there we are. That's maybe a bit drastic. But I'm thinking, Chris, maybe possibly the Conscience of the King episode in which we have Kodos the Executioner brought to mind there. You know, he might get it right if he's just given a bit more time.
Well, yeah, just bring Q in and he can just click his fingers and everything will be cured, or just even worse. It depends what kind of mood he's in, really. But there you go.
This is so true. And indeed, Kodos the Executioner and Q, just use the wonderful world of Google, Gabriella, and I'm sure it'll open up a whole new world for you.
Talking of new of old worlds, Robin, Alex, Quatermass. Doesn't it all feel a bit Quatermassy? Doesn't it all feel a bit Neelian to you at the moment, the whole thing?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
I've already started singing Huffety Puffety Rhinestone Round, basically.
There you go. Well, I mean,
it could even be, you know, the old sci-fi classic Village of the Damned or Children of the Damned, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's a bit of Wyndham in it as well. Let's chuck them all in, absolutely, yeah. Oh, my goodness me. But it is, no one's mentioned Quatermass. Why? You know, not even Matt Gaetis. You'd think he would have mentioned Quatermass after that mangled version he did of... the Quatermass experiment a few years back.
Maybe he's just too embarrassed to.
I think he ought to be. He ought to be ashamed of himself.
Or perhaps, you know, Bernard Quatermass is actually out there. He's come across from a parallel dimension, and the whole British rocketry group that he's heading up, it's too top secret, so we are not allowed to know, which is why we need folk like Gabriella to use their journalistic investigative skills to dig a little deeper.
I love the idea of the British rocketry. I think that's amazing. In fact, we were world leaders in rocketry at one point with Blue Streak and all that kind of thing, but then it was too expensive. Let's just drop it.
In the immortal words of Elton John, of course, Dan Dare doesn't know it. No, he really doesn't know it, but I liked the Mekon.
And there you go as well.
Strange.
No books, no books, no books, Buck Rogers. There you go.
Well, Yeah. Anyway, before I actually go into the notion of the technological singularity, which again you refer to in terms of the wonderful Hungarian-American mathematician John von Neumann in the 1950s, postulating the event by which human intelligence is surpassed by machine intelligence and creating its own superior species to ours. Chris, in the light of the presidential debate between Trump and Joe Biden, do you think that still holds true in terms of superior intelligences?
No, actually, I think, and Robin will hopefully be with me on this one, I think two ZX81s talking to each other would have made more sense than that debacle. That's
smart,
shameful.
Don't talk smart.
You talked to me about smart. You came last in your class. What? Shut up, man. I mean, it was just, it was a food fight without the food.
It was. I mean, you know, the free world has just watched the President of the United States throw a temper tantrum and try and talk across everybody and would not be silenced and basically showed himself as a toddler needing to be put on the naughty step.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, Gabriella, did that come across to yourself or was it a case of, no, we thought it was really good?
I think it comes across, yeah, so...
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, back in the day when I was an undergraduate course and Ronald Reagan was in the White House, I think it's fair to say there was a certain concern and fear that maybe, you know, a man had his potential finger on the button that maybe wasn't necessarily the best person to have a finger on the button and so on. But actually now Ronald Reagan is like
respect,
a pussycat.
Didn't he? He commanded respect.
Well, I mean, not everyone thought Reagan was the full shilling, but I mean, compared to Trump, I mean, this is just, it's, you could just take one incident from one. I mean, I'm a massive fan of Beyond 100 Days, which kept on going with Katty Kay and Christine Fraser on the BBC. I watched it avidly from the first day because the whole premise of the program was, can you believe that Donald Trump's got in? And every day they've had something new to talk about, just the farce and the danger of it all and just the nonsense of it all. And it's beyond comprehension, to any relatively sane person that he is very likely going to get voted in again. I mean, the fact he got in the first place is unbelievable.
It's beyond comprehension that nobody stops him.
Well, exactly.
You know, I mean, they've had the impeachment, but they've got so much on him. I think they're pulling back because they don't want the embarrassment of having to deal with another impeachment and perhaps criminal prosecution, if that could possibly happen.
Yeah,
you're listening to Robin and Chris Sort the World, a subset of radio programmes, which is brought to you courtesy of Siren Radio at the University of Lincoln. I want to move on, actually, Chris, very briefly, to another little critical point, because as I mentioned at the start, Robin also co-hosts with myself a weekly production called Resonance Rewind, in which we actually look back at a particular episode of a classic TV programme, or indeed movie, things that you may or may not have actually seen, or indeed in the case of contributors like Gabriella, who I'm sure will join us one of these days, if she remembers, we'll also tie in with the essence of something they haven't seen before. Just look at it through 21st century eyes, whether that's the episode of Star Trek entitled Miri, whether it's the first episode of Time Tunnel, Land of the Giants, or The Greats. I mean, this week we're looking at The Good Place. But, Chris, a little bit of controversy, because I suggested to one of our other North American correspondents, who, of course, was a student at the University of Lincoln as well, she's safely got back to North Carolina and is under total lockdown. They went back to their college and pretty much went to online delivery fairly shortly afterwards. I suggested that, actually, we're going to go, in terms of her gradual education into things Trek, with the episode Assignment Earth. Now, originally, I'd had Return to Tomorrow. I hadn't realised, when I changed that whole sequence, that Return to Tomorrow, of course, with Kirk's speech, is one of Robin's favourites, whereas Assignment Earth, of course, the launch of Gary 7, less so. But then again, Robin's not a big fan of The Amiga Glory or indeed Patterns of Force either. These are titles you can look at later, Gabriella. I'm sure it'll provide notes to actually follow through. Indeed, kind of listener. So, Chris, is that an irreversible choice and decision in terms of the timelines that we've actually got there to actually go for Assignment Earth with, you know, Gary 7 and indeed Roberta Lincoln? I mean, even her name, Lincoln Enterprises, it helps support the whole thing. And of course, the cat Isis, that Miss Lincoln is simply my cat.
Well, 2 points here. First of all, thanks for my invite, which I've never got. Robin. I'll leave that over to you so you can sort that out. We'll exchange emails at the end. Secondly, you've just basically reeled off all my least favourite original series Star Trek episodes, so I don't really know where I'm going to go with this one.
Well, you're going to agree with me, obviously, aren't you?
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Simon, no, not really. Not really interested. Now, if you start talking about the ultimate computer and, Amok time or things like that, now we're talking, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, clearly they will be worked in just as Miri was worked in. I mean, I was very tempted, given its proximity to the October 31st period when we'll be recording this, to bring in Cat's Paw. But I thought, maybe not. We've got to check the Night Stalker before then.
Well, no, I can see what your theme is. You know, horrifically poor Star Trek episodes. There's the theme there, Alex,
let's
have some good ones.
Anybody who doesn't shed a tear with Sylvia and Koloth at the end when they show their true forms.
Yeah, exactly.
What's not to appreciate?
What were they? Little mantises? I could never figure out what the puppets were.
They looked like, looked like sticks. I could never get it. There was a bit of sort of wispy smoke and a stick, and that was it. What the hell is this all about? This is very poor, even for Desilu Studios effects. This is rubbish. Anyway, there we go. Come on, Alex. Let's have some decent episodes. Something we can get our teeth into. I mean, goodness me, if you're doing Miri, what next? The Empath. I mean, come on.
That is a classic episode. The music alone rubbish. Is wonderful.
It's rubbish.
Chris does, obviously not mincing his words then. We may invite you, actually, Chris, to take part in next week's piece, which is actually the episode of The Saint with Roger Moore, entitled The Awesomely Wonderful House on Dragon's Rock. Yes, The Saint does science fiction. Anyway, enough of that.
The Saint does science fiction. Giant ants. Yes, wow.
Giant ants. And Annette Andre. Gabriella, any questions that you'd like to put to... I mean, you've hopefully managed to save her now and soak up some of the ambience of what happens when you actually have two science fiction aficionados put together, or three, what the hey, yes, I'll sort of step away from that.
Go on.
We could just take that. But Gabriella, what question would you like to put to either Chris or Robin? I mean, you can even ask Chris about what is it like teaching at the University of Lincoln these days, because he actually joined us after you'd left.
Yeah, I mean, kick off with the question, what on earth are you talking about? I mean, we don't mind, Gabriella. We get that a lot.
Yeah. I'll ask, what are the pitfalls that you find most of students when they get into creative writing and even sci-fi? What do you find is their biggest pitfalls when they start?
Chris, that's a neat one. That's a nice question.
That's a bomb.
Pitfalls of students writing sci-fi. And I have second-marked many of your scripts, and some of them are great and others a bit less so.
Yeah, I think the biggest pitfall is just plain out and out copying. Really, it's thinking that it can be flattering to like try to ape someone's style or stories, but I'll tell you what it is. It's the zombie apocalypse, because the amount of stories, and Alex is nodding, the amount of stories which are just post-apocalyptic, and you just get fed up after a while. You're just like, can somebody please write me a nice, happy, any story? Yeah. But when it comes to science fiction, I tell you what it is, Gabrielle, that when it comes to science fiction, students think they have to be really serious and really grim. And some of them have read Terry Pratchett, which you all know I've got issues with. None of them have read Douglas Adams, and you just think, come on, let's turn that frown upside down, shall we? Come on, let's have something slightly more positive in the world. It's not all Galactica sort of doom, like Ronald D. Moore doom and gloom. There is some positivity out there, folks. Now, come on. So, yeah, I'd say it's thinking that it has to be dreadfully serious and really, really, really grim. Bearing in mind, I've been writing for Warhammer for 7 years, so there you go.
I can have a smile. Yeah, I would have thought that they'd write about, I don't know, maybe repetitive in a way, but the same kind of like tropes in science fiction or superheroes and things like that. But okay, I wouldn't have expected them to all go for the deep, dark kind of stories at the beginning.
Gabriella, they're living in Lincoln in the second and third decades of the 21st century. What's the option? You know, I mean,
they're living in COVID times.
Yeah. Write about what you know. What the heck?
Yeah.
Robin, I know you're a huge fan of The Walking Dead. Any thoughts
not
on
anymore,
that?
No. I think it's a reflection of the times, because we have lost our optimism.
Agreed.
We've lost our belief in the future. I mean, why write, you know, the new zombie apocalypse? Because those are only about ever about the survivors trying to make their way. They're never about the zombies. I mean, you know, it's just a trope. It's what Alfred Hitchcock called the MacGuffin. It's a way of getting a point across. I did want to ask you, I mean, you mentioned things like Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett. My own favorite, and I read it years ago, and I think it's due a reread now. See what you think of Marsh and Go Home by Frederick Brown. One of the funniest sci-fi stories I think I've read.
Okay. No, that's new to me, but you have just reminded me of Harry Harrison or the Stainless Steel Rat books.
Oh, the Stainless Steel Rat, yeah.
They were good. In fact, my son picked them up a couple of years ago, and he absolutely loved them because they were always very lighthearted. There's a kind of a sort of Guardians of the Galaxy vibe to the old Stainless Steel Rat books, I think, which is quite current.
And of course, Frederick Brown, responsible for the episode Arena.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, of course.
I'm not throwing this together, you know.
Man's got a plan. This is fantastic.
You see, Chris, Robin got the memo. He obviously read the memos. I don't know.
Well, he works a lot more with you, doesn't he? Because I just don't get invited to these. I mean, get me on some program. God, come on. Let's talk about Thunderbirds or Captain Scarlet or something. Or just get me in the Stingray or something. Come on, let's do it.
I mean, these are the moments where we celebrate 55 years since Thunderbirds made its television debut in 1965. And there was optimism. Awesome. And now, of course, we've got FAB, which has also made its podcast debut through Jenny Anderson's productions as well.
Right.
There's lots of stuff we can actually work through. And Chris, I'm sure you'll acknowledge that this has been infinitely more energetic and viable than, shall we say, a debate on Can the Arts Save the World put together by a certain university a wee while ago, when people, can you believe this, Robin? People were not even allowed to participate if they didn't actually have a camera to actually open up their sort of system. You know, no camera, you're out. I mean, if that's not discrimination, I was just shocked.
It is, you know? It is. It is.
That'd be me then on Saturday. Yeah, okay. Thanks for that.
I'm mentioning no names to protect the innocent, clearly.
Discriminate against the camera disabled.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm otherly camera able. That's how I like to think of myself, Robin. There we go.
And as I like to say, you know, if you want me on camera, the tartan rug comes too. It's a bottom line. It's a package deal.
Behind that rug, though, is it a pile of bodies?
You get the tartan rug, and if in doubt, we actually bring out our salutes to democracy in the world today. Of course, the model Captain America.
I thought I'd put pay to that a couple of shows ago.
No. Gabriella, it falls to you. Good. Oh, you see, he's doing it again. He's bringing out his team. You know, he's raising those stakes. I tell you, if Gabriella had Frodo, the faithful pug, with her now, he would trump us all. Which brings us neatly to that question, Gabriella. How is Frodo, or Lord Frodo the pug, to give him his full Instagram account?
Good. He went to the groomers yesterday and is now on their Facebook page because of the amount of hair they got off him. So he's doing very well and had a great spa day. And much lighter, probably, with half his fur taken off him,
and will he have a trick or treat costume as we approach Halloween? Is that in the planning stage?
He has a couple already. He has a bee costume and a Stitch costume, and Santa costumes and Christmas ones and an elf one. So we'll probably recycle one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know about trick-or-treating this year, because I don't think
you can... It'd be socially distanced.
Yeah. You have to shout
trick-or-treat. Throw the sweets at them from a distance.
So. Yep. Like, use a catapult. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Or one of those cannons that shoots at T-shirts and things. That's always good.
Yeah. Better.
And you know, if we take that to its logical thing, you say we've actually taken the notions of canine cosplay to the genuine world of sci-fi-do.
Really, really bad.
Gabriella, as Robin holds his head in his hands on that basis, I can cite Louis Savvy as my inspiration for that. Sci-fi-do. What, you mean dogs dressed as sci-fi characters? Yeah, genius. Gabriella, would you like to put those last two questions to Chris Dowes and Robin Pierce, please?
Okay, so have you had a reasonably interesting Zoom link today.
Chris?
Beyond description, quite frankly. Beyond description. Amazing.
And Robin?
It's definitely been a unique one, hasn't it?
We live in unique times, yeah. Gentlemen. We live in unique times.
That's not quite the Chinese curse, though, is it?
No.
May you live
in interesting times, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. May you
Gabriella, next one.
Will you be joining us again? Chris, let's start with you again.
Do you know what? I might even try and find a camera from somewhere. How about that?
Yeah.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
And Robin, I believe you're back with us tomorrow.
I am indeed back with you tomorrow, yes. So you're going to need a restraining order to keep me away.
Arthur Weingarten, a writer of The Green Hornet, a writer of Batman. No, actually, he didn't do Batman. He did The Green Hornet, The Wild Wild West, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Wonder Woman, back with us, and all sorts of other marvellous things as well. Gabriella, has it been okay for you?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I didn't understand a large chunk of it, what was being said.
Neither did we, don't worry.
But I really enjoyed it. I think it's good to listen about different things as well.
Well, there we have it, you see. Gabriella Peralta. Presumably you'll be back with us next week sometime, Gabriella?
Yes, I will try my best to remember. I am on leave, so I have that excuse of, what day is it today? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's probably like my fifth Saturday in a row.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with having several Saturdays. It's like if you were a hobbit, you'd have at least two breakfasts in the morning. You know, it's important to actually work through that. Chris Dowes, Gabriella Peralta, Robin Pierce, huge thanks. Don't forget Robin's work in Starburst magazine on a monthly basis. Superb. I will actually wave the latest edition up, which I suppose will soon be superseded. It's scary. It is scary. A scary cover for a scary times. And, of course, Star Trek, the magazine, which I could wave my digital device at because it's an e-subscription based from that sort of system, which features Treknology with Chris Dowes and a whole heap of other goodies. That's it, folks. Take care, happy trails, and be safe.
Thank you.